Chapter 9, Poseidon and Caeneus. Zeus claims the sky as his domain, free and open and pure, and his it becomes. Hades goes to the underworld, and it's messy and horrible and heartbreaking, but he claims it uncontested, and his it becomes. Poseidon goes to the sea, but it already has its sovereign. His first thought is that she's beautiful, skin the color of pearls, and hair the dark, rich green of seaweed. She's tall, with the type of aristocratic bone structure that would make him think her delicate, if not every other aspect of her was as fearsome as Hera at her most irritable. "You come to my land seeking to make it your own," she says, and she's not quite walking and not quite swimming as she circles him. "Who are you to rule the sea?" He clears his throat, and he's a powerful god. He and his brothers are the most powerful gods that still exist in this earth. But his knees shake before her. It's not a good feeling. It's not infatuation. It's fear. "I am Poseidon." She tilts her head, and her pretty blue eyes are as cold as the sea floor they stand in. "Goodbye, Poseidon. Perhaps your brother will be able to find what's left of your corpse in his underworld." The water whips around him, doing its best to rip him apart, forcing itself into his lungs and suffocating him. He didn't think he could drown, but he might be about to be proven wrong. Then a net closes around him, pulling him up so he breaks through the surface and takes a large, grateful gulp of air. He's hauled over the side of a boat and dumped on its floor. The person who saved him, wildly fighting the angry waves. "You must really have pissed the lady off," a light, teasing voice says. Poseidon is still coughing, his eyes watering and lungs screaming. This boat is going to capsize and they'll both die, so he doesn't know how this person can sound so lighthearted. Except they're not. Their little boat is being expertly handled against the thrashing waves. Poseidon blinks, and he's inclined to say the person sailing is a woman, considering the budding breasts and hips. But the hair is cut short, and the chitin is designed for a man. "What's your name?" he asks. "Caeneus," his unexpected rescuer answers. It's a man's name, and Poseidon opens his mouth to question it, then closes it again. "Thank you," he settles on. "You saved my life." Caeneus finally steers them to land, and Poseidon dismounts to help him pull and anchor the boat to shore. "Anytime," he says cheerfully. "What did you do to make the lady so mad anyway?" "You know her?" he asks, staring. This man appears to be a mere mortal, yet how could a human know that woman? He grins at Poseidon and points out to the glittering sea. "We all do. She's the ocean itself, and just as powerful and unknowable. You better be careful not to anger her again. I don't know anyone who's survived her wrath twice." "Right," he says blankly. Even though that's unavoidable, he's to be the god of the sea, and if he has to wrest the mantle of monarch from her corpse, then so be it. Caeneus claps him on the shoulder, his work-roughed palm more comforting than anything else Poseidon has known since escaping his father's stomach. "Come to mine. You look half dead. I'll make you something warm." He takes a long look at his savior. Skin a dark shade of brown, and his eyes are amber in the setting sun. His black hair is cut short, and the muscles of his arms and legs shift with each movement. "Very well," he answers, and is inordinately grateful that he's too cold to blush. Caeneus takes him to his home, a hastily constructed shack on the beach's edge. The wind whips through the cracks in the wood, so that no matter where you stand, you're always chilled. "This is the worst woodwork I've ever seen," he says. He slides his hand across the wall and is completely unsurprised when it comes away with splinters. "I'm a sailor, not a carpenter," Caeneus answers, intent on mixing together a bunch of ingredients Poseidon only half recognizes. "It stays upright." "Barely," he returns, cupping his hands around the cup that's shoved at him. Caeneus doesn't ask him to leave. Instead, they squeeze onto Caeneus's too small bed. Poseidon curls around the smaller man, tangling their legs and tucking Caeneus's head under his chin. "You're warm," Caeneus murmurs, half asleep already, and Poseidon's heart clenches. He makes sure he's asleep when he carefully, so carefully, lowers his head and brushes his lips against Caeneus's cheek. When Poseidon wakes up, the sun is bright and Caeneus is gone. He should go marching back to the ocean. But first, he has something important to do. He's just not sure how to go about it. He can't ask Zeus. His younger brother knows plenty of war and not much else. Which leaves. It's easy enough to slip into the underworld, although he regrets doing so the second he arrives. It's almost completely dark and lonely. Lost souls are immediately reaching for him, cold hands brushing against his skin. "What are you doing?" a familiar voice demands, and Poseidon nearly wilts in relief when Hades appears at his side and guides him away from the wailing souls. "It's not safe here." "What's wrong with them?" he asks, glancing back, his chest clenching in sympathy at their cries, even though he knows there's nothing he can do for them. They slip through the realm and they land in front of a partially built stone castle. The goddess Hecate guides the construction with her magic, her visage that of a young child, since it's still morning in the mortal realm. Hades sits on the ground, and the skin beneath his eyes is dark and bruised. He looks like a strong wind would blow him over. "Nothing. Everything. I don't know. I'm working on it. Why are you here?" "I don't suppose you know how to build a house?" he asks, though he doesn't expect much. It seems he's not the only one having trouble claiming authority over his domain. His brother laughs, eyes crinkling at the corners. "You've come to the wrong sibling, little brother." "Oh, that's true. Do you think she'll help me?" "Yes," Hades answers, lips twitching. "Now leave me to my anarchy. I have more than enough trouble to deal with without you causing more." That's fair enough. Poseidon heads to Olympus next, careful to peer around the corners to avoid Zeus and Hera. Their marble palace is already constructed, and he tamps down on the bitterness that they rule unchallenged. In the center of the throne room, next to a roaring fire, sits Hestia. "Sister," he greets, tentative. "I need help building a home." She looks from her fire to him. And when she smiles, he feels all his tension drain from his shoulders. "Of course, little brother. If it is help you require, then it is help you shall receive." Hestia tears apart the shack with a flick of her hands and says, "I'll ask Demeter for some better wood," and is gone and back in the blink of an eye. They build it by hand after that. And Hestia's soft voice guides him whenever he hesitates or stumbles. They are gods, so it doesn't take too long. And when they finish, they have a small, beautiful house right on the edge of the beach. One with a large bed and lots of light. One with a fire pit in the center that has Hestia's name inscribed in the bottom, so that she may look over this home she helped build. Thank you, Poseidon says, the sun beginning to set. Hestia winks at him. Anytime, little brother. And is gone in the next moment. He hopes Caeneus likes it. Unfortunately, he won't be able to stick around to find out. He has a queen to challenge. He finds her again in her palace of polished rock at the bottom of the sea. There'll be no helpful sailor to save you this time, she says, head tilted to the side. Already the water is colder around him. The current is stronger. He swallows. I am Poseidon. I am to be god of the sea. She glances him over, unimpressed. Why do you want it so badly? There is nothing about you that is of the sea. I am a god, he answers blankly, and doesn't say that it was this or the underworld, and that wasn't a mess he was willing to take on. She snorts, a flicker of amusement appearing in her emotionless gaze. You are too soft and too kind to ever be a master of the sea. He opens his mouth, but she raises a hand and he closes it. She takes slow, deliberate steps towards him, and he swallows and doesn't look away. I will make you a bargain, Poseidon, god of nothing. I'm listening, he answers, and tries not to flinch when she places a cold hand against his chest. I am Amphitrite, she says, sister of Gaia. And I have lived long before your conception, just as I will live long after your death. Poseidon pales and, oh, he had no idea the class of being he was dealing with here. This is very, very bad. If you wish to rule the sea, then you must rule me. He swallows. Lady, I... 1,000 apologies. I did not know. Silence. His mouth clicks shut. I was born as I am, and I will die that way. But I need not live this way. He doesn't understand, and she must see that, because she touches her own chest and says, I have a heart as cold and dark as the oceans I bore. I will give it to you, and I and the sea will be yours to command. But I require your heart in return, so that I may know kindness and softness. He doesn't know what to say. Hearts aren't things meant to be given away lightly. But he must become Lord of the Sea. Take time, if you must, she says, that same cold amusement in her eyes. I am as immovable as the ocean, and I will be here when you make up your mind. He's propelled up and onto the shore, far more gently this time around. Poseidon! He barely turns when a body slams into him and lips press against his. Caeneus pins his wrists to the sand and kisses him, long and slow and more than distracting enough to make him forget about the offer from the personification of the sea itself. You built me a house, he murmurs. You built me a house. Do you like it? He asks, dazed. Caeneus grins above him, wicked and beautiful, and rolls his hips into Poseidon's. Come with me and I'll show you how much I like it. Poseidon means to go back to the sea, to Amphitrite, but every morning Caeneus kisses him good morning. He learns of the sea, though, He goes out with Caeneus each day and learns its motions and its temper, the taste and smell of it, learns how to understand it, learns how completely and totally uncaring it is, how the coldness of its depth is the totality of it. The sea is not kind. It has no sympathy, no love, no capacity for such small things as forgiveness or mercy. He means to return to her, but it becomes harder and harder every day. Days turn to weeks, turn to months. He and Caeneus grow closer and closer, and Poseidon has no idea how he's supposed to turn his heart over to Amphitrite when it's now held by a mortal with amber eyes who leaves mouth-shaped bruises along Poseidon's collarbones. Poseidon, Caeneus says, quiet in the oppressive stillness of the night, head on his chest and curled into his side. The moon is large and high and spools silver on their bedroom floor. You're a god, right? I am, Poseidon says, amused. Caeneus knows what he is, but this is the first time he's mentioned it. Caeneus pushes himself up so he can look down at him, and Poseidon reaches up to cup his face. Caeneus leans into it, covering his hand with his own. Could you make me into a man? You are a man, he says automatically. He rolls his eyes and pulls himself up so he can swing his leg over Poseidon, straddling his hips. You know what I mean. Poseidon shifts enough that both their breaths hitch, and he says, No, I'm sorry, I'm not. I have no domain, and my powers are limited. He could maybe do it, but transformation is not among his natural talents, and Caeneus is too precious to risk unless he is certain. He's disappointed, but smiles through it and leans down to kiss him. It's all right. It's not. If Poseidon were the god of the sea in more than name, if he had taken Amphitrite's offer, he would be able to transform his lover like he desires. He's a god, brother of Zeus, and he can't give Caeneus the one thing he's ever asked of him. What good is he? What good is any of his power if he can't make the people he loves happy? He flips Caeneus over and kisses his neck so his lover won't see the self-hatred that's plain on his face. Poseidon sneaks away in the middle of the night, presses a soft kiss to his sleeping lover's slack mouth, and enters the ocean. You've decided then, she asks, head tilted to the side. I will not be a loyal husband, he declares, back straight. I love Caeneus. She laughs, and for the first time he's not afraid of her. Do with your mortals what you wish. It's no concern of mine. Okay, he says, and steels himself. Okay, I accept your offer, Amphitrite, sister of Gaia. She holds out her hand, nails more like claws, and tears open her own chest without flinching. Her blood is slick and dark as it pours from her, swirling in the water around them. She pulls a dark, round thing from her chest and holds it out to him. He looks down at his chest and he doesn't. He's not sure if he can do what she's done, and he would feel foolish asking for a knife. She steps forward and places her hand with its claws against his chest, slippery and warm with blood, and cuts open his chest for him. It's excruciating, and his knees buckle against the pain of it. Amphitrite holds him up and waits. She can't do this part. It has to be him. He reaches inside his chest and pulls out his heart, beating and warm. He clumsily places it in her chest, It's startlingly, violently red against the dark green color of the rest of the inside of her. She does the same, slipping her own heart into his chest. Their skin heals over instantly. Amphitrite's mouth drops open and her cheeks flush pink. She smiles, small and soft, and for the first time she looks happy. Her heart inside his chest is cold as ice, and its chill suffuses his body, edging out to fill him entirely. He can feel the ocean now, all of it spread across the globe, the tides and the creatures that reside in it, its plants and animals and nymphs. "It's so much," he says, and is surprised at the sound of his own voice, at its curtness. "You feel only part of it," she says, stepping forward. "It is a force too powerful for a god to control. I am a force too powerful for a god to control. However, you hold my heart. As I will now obey you, so will the sea." "You could overpower me," he says clinically. Knows the power she wields by what he can't feel rather than by what he can. She presses a hand to his chest and they both startle. She's warm now. She wasn't warm before. Or perhaps he has simply grown colder. "I could, but I will not." He has no reason to trust her, but he's painfully aware that he doesn't have a choice in the matter. "I'm going to Caeneus," he says, and a sense of unease grows within him. Even the shape of his lover's name in his mouth doesn't feel the same anymore. "Do as you wish, husband." She turns from him, going deeper into their palace. This time he uses his own powers of the sea to push him to the surface. It's not as satisfying as he'd thought it'd be.